So yeah, thank you for this opportunity to talk to you and yell at you or something like that. So today I want to inspire you guys to be the best you that you can be as you run the race of life. So a little intro of how I got to this race. So like he said, we all made it yesterday. I was a very beginning runner at the beginning of training for this. And what got me there is I prayed a very dangerous prayer, which was, God, I want my physical health to be better. I want to have more endurance and more strength. And so he had an answer. Not what I wanted, but he had an answer. But I had to do my part too. So he gave me a desire to run. I thought it would be fun. So in the winter, I ran around the house for a couple minutes at a time. You know, and then once the weather got nice enough, I went out to the Triton track and I started running around there once a week. And from there, I discovered a couple things. I breathe harder than I ever thought I could. I sweat, and it's harder than it looks. And then I prayed about this 30 for Freedom race and asked God what he wants me to do. Because, as you know, sex trafficking is an awful, horrendous problem that we have. And I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, well, I could walk 3 miles. You know, there was different races in this 30 for Freedom. There's a 5K, which is 3 miles, a 10K, which is 6 miles, you know, half marathon, 30 miles. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, well, I could walk. You know, I walk a lot. I could walk for 3 miles. But he's like, no. I want you to train to run 3 miles. So after I got over the shock and the excuses, and I finally surrendered and said yes, I came and I looked to see, okay, how many weeks are there between now and then for me to train? And so then I looked online and found an 11-week, which basically 3-month training. And this had me running 3 days a week, gradually increasing my distance each day. So I started out literally running for about 5 minutes at a time, and that was in between running and walking, all the way up to running 45 minutes at a time without stopping, which was 3 miles. And I'm not going to lie to you, it was the hardest physical challenge I've ever had to do. But when my strength came to an end, that's when God's strength began. He was faithful every day to get me to that distance that I needed. And I'm so glad that I did it. I learned so much. I had extra prayer time with God as I was running. And God showed me a lot of things. And some of that is what I'm going to share with you today. So the scriptures I want to look at are 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 27. And they should be up on the screen. Right or wrong?
Yeah. Yay.
Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And then also Hebrews 12, 1 and 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So, being your best, raise your hand if you're perfect. Farouz. No, nobody's perfect. Nobody has arrived at perfection. No matter what our age, none of us have arrived. All of us have some room for improvement in some area. Maybe your area wasn't physical like mine. Maybe it's mental or emotional, how we think. Maybe it's spiritual. You want to draw closer to God. Maybe it's in a relationship that needs improvement. I'd encourage you to ask God, what areas in my life do you want to improve? And then have him help you. And then step out and obey and do it. Changing. None of us can change on our own. None of us can improve on our own. But when we ask God how we can cooperate with him to change, he will do the work. And he will make the changes in us. Mm-hmm. But we still have to do our part.
Yes.
For example, I wanted to improve my physical health. Well, I had to do something to do that.
Yes.
If I don't put in the exercise to train or to run, nothing's going to change. If we're always doing the same thing in the same way, we're going to get in a rut. We're not going to grow. In fact, we're actually going to go backwards. And I'm not saying do more. We all have enough on our to-do list to do. But I'm saying, how can we improve on what we already do? Maybe we have to stop doing something that we're doing. Maybe we have to do something different. Maybe we just have to tweak what we already are doing to get different results. For example, if you always spend time with God in the same way, maybe change it up to get something different out of it. If you always spend time with your spouse or your friend in the same way, day after day, it's going to get boring, and you're not going to get to know him in a different way. Same way with God. If we change up the way that we spend time with him, we're going to get to know him in a different way. For example, like if you always read your Bible, maybe try listening to it. Or vice versa, if you always listen to it, maybe try reading it. You're going to get different things out of it. If you always do the same reading plan every year, maybe this next year try a different reading plan to get something different out of it. If you always come to God and you ask for your needs first, maybe try worshiping first. You know, there's such a variety of ways to get to know him differently. Maybe you do want to improve on your physical health like I did. Maybe you walk for a half a mile. Maybe try walking for 3/4 of a mile. It will give you different results. Maybe you want to lose weight and you are eating 4 sweets a day. Maybe go down to 3 sweets a day. Those little changes that you do add up to big results. So I'd encourage you to evaluate your life and say, God, where in my life do I need to make changes to be the best me that I can be? So as we all try to change and stuff, there's hindrances. There's hindrances in us being the best we can be. The first, and I think the most biggest hindrance, is comparing. We compare ourselves with others, and that keeps us from being the best us that we can be. Because either we're going to tell ourselves, they're way better and I can never achieve that. For example, they're always going to play the piano better than me, so I'm not even going to try. Or they can cook and bake better than I can, so why try? I could never run as far as Pastor did, so why try? I could never afford a car like so-and-so, so I don't even try and put in the effort. The other thing, so you either don't try because you think you could never achieve it, or you think, I've arrived, I'm better than them, and it leads to pride. For example, my health is good compared to so-and-so. I don't need to improve. Or my prayers or service to God are better than so-and-so who's not doing anything for God, so I don't need to improve. But when we compare ourselves to others, we're actually lying to ourselves. We're saying, well, I'm good compared to so-and-so. But instead, we should let God search our hearts and see, how does our life line up to God's word? Does it line up to God's word in every way? Are we doing what God has asked us to do, not comparing with somebody else? If we stop comparing ourselves to others, then we can help be the best us that we can be. I heard a quote once that says, the Holy Spirit doesn't make us better than others, but better than ourselves. The Holy Spirit wants to change us, and he can. So rather than comparing to what God has told others to do, just make sure you're doing what God told you to do. and let God take care of the rest of them. Mm-hmm. So, running. So once I got used to running and had a little bit more confidence, I left the Triton track and went to the streets and the sidewalks. But while I was there, like I said, I was such a beginning runner that I didn't understand how the track worked. So you have the football field in the middle, and then you have lane one. That's the tightest one around there. And I thought, okay, that almost felt like cheating. I'm not going to get the distance I need. Lane 8 felt like it was way too far around. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. So I picked lane 4, right in the middle. That was my lane that every time that I went out and ran, that was the lane that I ran in. And as I ran, God was speaking to me different things. And these don't just apply to physical running, but the race of life, for any struggles that we're going through. So I want to read these scriptures again, 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. And of course, our prize for running our race of faith is Jesus. Some people might say it's heaven, and that's part of it. But really, the prize, the ultimate prize, is drawing closer to Jesus. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. So we have to exercise our faith in order for it to grow. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever.
Yes.
We ran our race. We got a medal. We got these shirts. They're not going to last. They're going to shrink, they're going to fade and make holes in it, and might fall apart, get rusty, whatever. Those things aren't going to last, but we do our race of life, of faith, in order to win a crown of righteousness that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Can you imagine running that way? Not only are you going to look a little silly, you're not going to get to where you need to go very good. So if you start the race of faith, and then you're like, man, I'm going to go back to my old ways. And then you start again. Man, I'm going to go back to my old ways. You're not going to get to where you need to get to as fast as you would if you just consistently read your Bible every single day. Spend time with God every single day. Then eventually, you'll get there. No, I beat my body, or your faith, and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And then in Hebrews 12, 1 and 3, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. So there's other people spectating our walk of life. Some of them may be encouraging. Some of them might be discouraging. There might be sins that are entangling us. If I went and put on my winter coat, my winter boots, you know, my snow pants, and I tried to run, how good do you think that's going to be? No, that's really going to hinder me in my run. But if I have to throw off everything that hinders me so that I can run with perseverance, let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. So like I said, if I start this walk and then stop, then start again and stop, that's not going to be perseverant and get me to where I need to be. But like I said, every day, spending the time with God, spending the time in His Word that we need, it's going to help grow our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We have to keep our eyes on Him as we go through this journey. Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He went through, obviously, horrific things on the cross and before the cross. And He did it for the joy that was before Him. Guess what His joy was? Us. Our salvation. That was His joy. That's why He went through it all. So a little bit of training here on earth, even though it might seem hard, going through hard times or whatever, is worth the joy of drawing closer to God. So, like I said, as I was running, God was showing me different things. So I have 10 different things. They won't take forever. 10 different things that God showed me as I was running, mostly when I was running on the track. One, stay in your own lane. In other words, do what God has asked you to do. Don't compare to others. I could have compared to Jaron and Roy's run, and they're like, there's no way I can run that far. Or even to Aurora's, which was double what I did. I could have compared to other worship leaders or other ministers or other parents or anybody. But instead, I just had to do what God has asked me to do. God created us all differently, unique and special. Nobody's better than anybody else, only different. Let me say that again. Nobody is better or worse than anybody else. We're all just different. God created us that way. So don't get distracted by look at somebody else's lane. Oh, maybe their lane looks a lot funner than your lane. What they're doing for Jesus looks a lot funner. No, keep your eyes straight ahead. Focus on Jesus. Where you look is where you're going to start to veer. So if we're looking at other people and comparing to them, you're going to start going that way. And you're going to get out of your lane for, and you're going to start going into a different lane that God didn't want you to go to. You might say, you know, those people in lane 8, they've got it easy. Why are they running so slow? Or I'm, you know, focused over here. We don't know what they went through. Maybe they already ran 10 laps, and that's why they're going slower. Or you're over here saying, this person in lane 1, they've got it really easy. Well, maybe they're just starting out in their faith, and they're strong, and they're solid, and they're, you know, going great. Or maybe they've done it for so many years that they have a solid foundation. We can't compare it to others. We really don't know what other people have gone through in their lives. But we just need to focus on Jesus and do our own personal best. So the second lesson he showed me was run at your own stride. So again, not in circles, not like a boxer. You're not going to get anywhere. So God gave me long legs. So I asked God, hey, how can I use these long legs to run? What gifts and talents has God given you that he wants you to run in your race of faith? What is your personality? God gave us all unique personalities. There's 4 different gospels in the Bible. All of them are important, but all of them are different because they were all written by people who have different walks of life, different gifts, different talents, and they were all given by the Holy Spirit, just like our gifts and talents. They're all given by the Holy Spirit. So how does God want you to use those? The third thing is run at your own pace. What does God want you to do every day? Maybe you have a lot of energy. Maybe you have just a little bit. Maybe there's times of the day when we have more energy than others. We can't compare to the age and energy of someone else, but what has God given to us? So our time with him, getting things done, we should do those when we have the most energy. Resting. We should rest in such a way that gives us, re-energizes us, rather than making us lethargic. So the fourth lesson was, when your strength comes to an end, that's when God's strength takes over. There were times when I was running when I literally didn't know if I was going to make it. I wanted to stop. I had to pray my way through it. I had to remind myself that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Not what I can do, but what he can do through me. And you know what? He always came through. He always gave me the strength to complete that day's run. And even with hard times in life, you're like, sometimes I just want to stop. I want to throw in the towel. But when we keep persevering through them, that's when God increases our endurance and increases our faith. When we don't quit, he gives us strength when ours comes to an end. Mm-hmm. And so that the next challenge that we go through, it's going to be a little bit easier because now we have different tools, more endurance, we've learned different things.
Yes.
So the fifth lesson was, don't pay attention to the spectators. The Bible says that we have a cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Maybe that's literally, maybe not, maybe figuratively. People in the Bible or our ancestors, our parents that went before us saying, you know, I made it through these hard times. You can do it too.
Yes.
They're like cheering us on. And it's great to have others cheering us on, but really we need to listen to God's voice. And what is He saying? He's pleased with us. When we obey Him, He's pleased with us. So sometimes when I went to the track, there was gym classes that came out, and they would use the center for their gym class while I was running around. And most of the time, you know, they ignored me. But I was imagining, what are these people thinking? What is this old lady doing out here running so slowly? Like I said, they pretty much ignored me, and I'm sure that they weren't thinking those things at all. Those were actually the devil's voices just trying to discourage me. The truth is, I'm young. I'm doing my personal best. I'm obeying what God has asked me to do. Sometimes when we do things for God, others aren't pleased with us, our family or our friends, and sometimes they let you know it. But we aren't running in our race to please them, but God. Don't listen to their naysaying, whether it's from the devil or from a negative person or even from yourself. But only their encouragement. But mostly listen to God's voice. He's cheering you on. He's on your side. He's saying, you can do it. Keep going. Don't quit. So the sixth lesson was, clean up your own lane. Don't worry about trying to clean up other people's lanes. In other words, clean up your own life, your own sins. Don't try to clean up somebody else's life. Now, I'm not sure what these kids did out there on the track, but I found all kinds of metal pencil toppers all over the place. I found broken off cleats, little pebbles, sticks, little things that could have tripped me up if I wasn't careful. And it's the same way in life. It's those little things that trip us up if we're not careful. A little bit of cake can ruin a diet because you want more. A little bit of gossip can ruin a friendship. A little bit of sin that you allow in your life can trip us up and cause us to have a big fall. The scripture tells us to throw off everything that hinders, all those sins that so easily entangle. So I started picking those little things up so that they wouldn't trip me up. Allow God to point out those areas in your life that you need to clean up and let Him clean you up so you don't trip.
Yes.
So I didn't need to clean up the other lanes. Let the people that are in those lanes clean those up. And same way, we don't need to clean up our spouse's life, our kid's life, our family members or friends as much as we would love to. We can't clean them up. We've got to let God clean them up. We can pray for people. We can encourage them and support them. God might even lead us to a time when we need to confront their sin. But it's not up to us to clean them up. It's up to God. So when I picked up those things, I could have thrown them into other lanes. That wouldn't have been very nice. Then they could have tripped on them. In the same way, we don't want to throw our trash, our sins, our habits, our things that we're going through on somebody else to make them trip up. Expecting them to fix it. No, it's our responsibility with God to fix ourselves. Yes, we can share with others, they can help bear our burdens, but we don't put the responsibility to change on them. We have to do it ourselves in order to be the best us we can be.
Yes.
So, lesson number 7. Put up boundaries, like stripes in your lane. They all have stripes. Just like we don't want to throw our junk onto other people, we don't want other people to throw their junk on us either, because that can trip us up in our life. We can listen to them, pray for them, show them empathy, but then throw it back on their responsibility. Don't carry it on your own shoulders. If they don't take responsibility for themselves, then we have to put up a boundary. Maybe we have to talk to them less, or whatever it takes to keep their junk from hindering our walk of life. So number 8,
yes.
Don't try to finish someone else's race.
Mm-hmm.
Just finish yours. Your ancestors, the parents, the people that went before you, they're done with their race. We don't have to try to pick up where they left off. You're a different person running a different race. your race might look similar, but it's going to be completely different. Sometimes there's lots of pressure to fill somebody else's shoes. Oh, we've always been doctors in this family, so you're going to be a doctor too. We've always been ministers in this family, so you're going to be a minister. Or we cook great in this family, so you're going to learn how to cook too. But we got to run in our own shoes. They're what fits best.
Yes.
Can you imagine if I swapped shoes with Jared for our race yesterday, and he had to run in my size 9, and I had to run in his size 14? It's not going to go well. We have to do our own race. Put on your own shoes. And we can't even put that pressure on our kids that they have to be that certain way. But let them do what God has asked them to do.
Yes.
Now, those that went before us, we can learn from them. Learn from the good things that they did. Learn from their mistakes. Are there people that we need to forgive in our past that has hindered our walk today? Are there bloodlines that you need to break off? Just because your ancestors were always alcoholics, your family doesn't have to be. You can put up that boundary and say, no, devil, not in my family.
That's right.
The ninth thing. Two more things, I'm almost done. The ninth thing. Don't give up or slow down when it gets hard. The scripture says to run with perseverance in the race marked out for us.
Mm.
Sometimes I had to tell myself, keep going. Don't quit. Don't slow down. You got 2 more minutes. You got a half a mile more. Keep going. Persevering through those hard times of training made the harder, longer distances easier because now I had more endurance. I remember the day I came home after running 2.5 miles without stopping, and I'm like, is it crazy to say that that was actually easy? Now, when I started out at 5 minutes a day, there's no way that I thought 2.5 miles was going to be easy. But now I had more endurance. Because I persevered through those hard times. God helps us through them. So keep pressing. Because you're almost ready for a breakthrough. You're almost ready to win the prize.
Yeah.
Keep going. God doesn't waste those hard times and pain that we go through. He uses them for His glory. Not what we think we can do in our strength, walking 3 miles. But what can God do through me? Not settling for second best or say, I've had enough battle, I've had enough training, I just want to rest. I'm guilty of that. But that's fighting in our own strength. Instead, let God lead you to the rest at the right time. Keep fighting, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Let Him fight for you. He's on our side fighting for us. Don't quit or slow down. He's our shepherd. He leads us to what we need when we need it. Whether it's a rest, a hard time, because He's using those things to help us to persevere. So we just have to trust Him. And in the end, we will win the prize if we don't give up. So the 10th lesson, don't worry about what is ahead. Hebrews 6:25 and following says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Mm-hmm. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I want to read verse 34 out of the Message Bible. It says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Mm. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard times come when the time comes. So after I got more confident in running, I left the track and, like I said, I went to the streets and to the sidewalks. Well, now there's cracks, there's hills, there's different things that I have to watch out for. Just like in life, sometimes there's hills, sometimes there's struggles, sometimes there's events that we're worried about ahead. But we have to focus on what God is doing right now, right where we are. Sometimes I literally have to look down and watch my next step rather than looking ahead at that hill that's coming, because that would just make me start to worry. God has ordered our steps. He's right there with you, helping you every step of the way. He gives you exactly what you need when you need it in order to strengthen your endurance, whether that's physically, spiritually, whatever. He will get you through, and He will give you everything that you need. So in conclusion, what race are you running today? Is it a health race? Maybe you're having a health challenge. Maybe it's your finances, a relationship, spiritually, emotionally. What areas of your life can you invite the Holy Spirit into to make you the best you that you can be? Maybe it's some of those same areas, maybe it's something different. Ask God, He will show you. Because at the end of our life, we all want to be able to say, like Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we thank you that you are with us all in our races of life.